The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. A busy, busy day where the Big Ten has made it official. In case you missed it earlier, they are back in business, and they will start a little more than a month from now, 5 weeks to be exact, and are going to attempt to get in a 9-game season that will not have any bye weeks. So more on that later. We'll talk to a coach in the Big Ten, a head coach, in a couple of minutes. We've already had Jeremy Pruitt on from Tennessee. Pete Thamel wraps it up for us in an hour, the Yahoo columnist. Let's get back to the calls in Belvedere in Texas. You are next up. Hey, Belvedere, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. I'm sorry. I mean, chairman of pressure. I'm not sure what you did to the Big Ten, but you put pressure on. But what I want to say is, well, first of all, we'll get to Huey Long later. I spent last night, that was fascinating, reading all the games then. But anyway, Big Ten, they took kind of a moral high ground at first. And then the pressure that you put on them, or people did, I guess, because I think they're kind of hypocrites, in a sense, for doing that, or what they've done. I mean, why did they give up, in a sense? I mean, they were social justice warriors for the students, the student athletes, if you will. And what do you think, why did they cave? I guess it's money, right?
Well, it's a lot of things, but, they caught so much flack. And part of the problem, Belvedere, was they never really had a good message of why they shut down. They threw myocarditis out there. They threw other things. And they just kept trying to explain. They also had a lot of dissension within their ranks. When they had head coaches at major schools like Penn State and Ohio State openly criticizing the commissioner, who has not won high marks from anyone.
Right. Hey, and Squirrel, I like Squirrel from Madison. He was straight on that Christine woman that writes for the USA. Now, I did read that column, and remind me, Paul, did she say it was the Big Ten's darkest moment?
She called September 16th the darkest day in the history of the Big Ten, and many have said before you and I that she looked right past Sandusky, Nasser.
That's the first thing, of course.
Two of the worst scandals in history. And by the way, I always hate to criticize a columnist. You know, columnists are supposed to make a strong argument and make it entertaining, and She made it that.
You're the best. But, yeah. I like controversy, but, you got to back it up with your column. It's the darkest moment. As you just pointed out, all those situations.
Yeah, and by the way, Christine, I understand you're getting a lot of COVID positives. I understand that players, this is expensive, but we're not exactly sending players to the dungeons here. They're it's all voluntary. Nobody has to do this. And
that's right. One more question for you on that about COVID. And when somebody called in earlier saying the liability, and I think that's what the lawyers came in and said, the liability. Now, how do you prove where someone gets that virus?
Well, I think you would have to show negligence within your athletic department. I think that's your only way.
Well, that doesn't mean that you got it from the athletic department.
Yeah, I think it would be very difficult because by the way, I have no doubt, neither do you, Belvedere, years from now there will be class action lawsuits because, there are law firms that's all they do. They run around looking for
It'll
the next whatever. So,
1-800, did you get coronavirus when you're playing football at the University of Texas A&M?
Sure.
But I
don't see that happening anytime soon because we still don't even understand the virus yet.
True. Very good, man. Well, I'm glad you put the pressure on. And we have Big Ten.
Anything I can do to bring enjoyment to all of us in college football. Andre, you are on the air. Something tells me you've got some opinions on the Big Ten.
Listen, Coach, it's always the money. Let's not sugarcoat here. It's the money, Coach. Money talk. You know, and I understand that, you know, a lot of small communities like Lincoln, Nebraska would be hurt and hurt deeply. And I understand that. You know, you're about the only person that I've heard from in the Deep South that really was rooting for the SEC, I mean, for the Big Ten to come back. Most people down here in the SEC was kind of indifferent to it one way or another. Maybe I'm wrong, Coach, but I've never heard one person say, gee, I hope the Big Ten comes back and plays football. But it's always the money, Coach. Let's not get this mistaken. It's the money. Follow the money. But, you know, hey, I'll be glad to see the Big Ten get whooped again and ran out the stadium. But, hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Thank you. And it's always good to hear from you. Let's talk to James next. Hey, James, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Paul, maybe tomorrow your buffer music should include the theme song from Welcome Back, Cotter. Do you recall that?
I sure do. Welcome Back. It's it was a very, very catchy tune.
Yes. Paul, I heard someone, and also I believe Belvedere, mentioned culpability, mm-hmm. or as he said, liability. And I know you remember when our football coaches were lobbying to keep football and keep players in place. And one of the topics they used for ammunition to hold our players in place and to maintain our course as far as going forward with football was that they would be safer under their guidance and under the watchful eyes of the medical staff. Is that not right?
So far, so good.
Okay. As I'm perusing Yahoo News in the last week, I see where a young man whose conference has canceled their football program for 2020. The young man played at, and this is going to sound strange, but he played at the California University of Pennsylvania.
Right, correct.
And his name was Jermaine Stevens. Have you heard?
Yeah, we interviewed Ross Dellinger last week, who did a story on him. I am familiar with the case, yes.
I see. So it would be impossible for us to know if he'd still be with us if he was playing football or not. But, I mean, as it is, we just don't know that, do we, Paul?
We really don't. And it's a terribly sad story. Hey, thank you for the call. I hate to run. We are heading to a break. A guest coming up, and the guest is the head coach of the university, or Purdue University. And we'll talk to Jeff Brom right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you with us. Really excited to welcome our next guest. He is Jeff Brohm, and we welcome him courtesy of the region's guest line. Coach, the head coach at Purdue, and it is quite a day. We've been talking about it. The whole country has been talking about it. Coach Brohm, thanks for the time, and how do you feel?
Well, we're excited. I think it's something that our conference and our players and coaches and fans wanted for a long time. And while things for a while didn't look very good and we're hopeful just to get back on the field in some form or fashion, it really wasn't until the last 7 to 10 days that we think that there might be a glimmer of hope to even push that up even farther into this October period. So the fact that it's gotten done is a credit to our medical staff and our presidents and chancellors for having the courage and wisdom to listen again to a proposal that they thought would work, and we can return to the field safely. So we're all excited.
Coach, I know you have to have patience as a coach, but I would imagine these last 5 weeks have been a fairly trying time. Describe what it has been like once the decision was made, trying to deal not only with your staff, but your players, but just the idea of a fall without football.
Well, at first, we were all disappointed, and it was something that, in general, you know, we probably thought the others may follow, and that didn't happen to play out the way we wanted to. So for us, the fact that, you know, we had to tell our players, look, at some form or fashion, we're going to get back on the field. And I think, you know, initially I tried to put out a spring proposal just to kind of give us some optimism that, hey, this can happen. We can play if we really want to. And then it became, hey, let's try to speed this up to the winter, possibly a January season. Then even it became, hey, let's try to maybe possibly get this thing going after Thanksgiving. And like I said, you know, that was at least an opportunity to get back on the field. But the fact that we've been able to acquire this daily rapid testing, this daily antigen testing that we can do on a daily basis for our players, the fact that we've been able to get more answers from a cardiac standpoint as far as the exact plan and protocol we're going to follow, I think has allowed our medical team and experts to feel like, hey, we can do this now. And so now that the fact that we can play October 24th is exciting for us to try to get in a condensed fall season and to play football when others are playing it.
Talking to Jeff Brohm, Coach, I know not only were you a great quarterback in the South, at Louisville, you've coached at many places in different parts of the country. When you were sitting up there at Purdue, not playing, I'm sure you had some thoughts about why everyone else was. And I know you were careful. Some other of your colleagues weren't as careful. But how tough was it to just simmer there while friends, colleagues, people you knew very well were marching toward the first game and ultimately started the season a few weeks ago?
Well, it was not very fun, and it was not fun for all of us. And while we want the best for everyone, we enjoy watching football ourselves, the fact that we were on the bench watching, it was not a fun weekend. So, you know, I really feel like, you know, from a coaching and player standpoint, before we canceled the season, we felt like we had things under control. And I think that from a campus standpoint of having our guys here and making sure we're able to monitor what they do, we felt like we had a good plan. And I think really that's what the others have proceeded with. And, you know, from our conference standpoint, that wasn't good enough. They needed more. So I think the fact that this daily testing has come into play and then more answers and detailed protocols of how we will handle the cardiac issues has been mapped out for all of our teams to follow. I really feel like, you know, right now we're doing all we can to provide a safe environment. And I feel like our players and really our players' parents feel good that moving forward, we've done everything we can.
Coach, let's get to the reality of getting ready. It's not a long window, but you've already been with your program and your team for a while before the shutdown. Where are you, and how quickly are you going to have your players on the practice field?
Well, I think we'll have enough time to get ready. Really, for us and for all of our teams in the Big Ten, we were allowed a 12-hour week, which meant we were able to get 5 hours of instruction with our players on the field in helmets and spider pads. We were able to utilize that as much as we can in the format we wanted to. So that has been going on. It's going to continue to go on. I think we're going to be able to amp up to a 20-hour week where now we can get on the field a little bit more with them, still in just a helmets and spider pad capacity where we're limited a little bit in what we can do. And really, that last week of September, I believe Wednesday, September 30th, is going to be when we're allowed the first padded practice. And I feel like all of our teams should have ample time to get ready to go out on the field and compete and play a 9-game season with no bye weeks. I still think that we can make that work and make it work in a very safe way.
Coach, I know the schedules aren't out. I mean, this has been a pretty fast-acting couple of days with all the conversation and ultimately the decision. But, I mean, you knew what your schedule was. Do you have any clue what it's going to look like here in a couple of days?
Well, we don't know the details. I know for us, it looks like it's going to be an 8+1 season, which means we're going to play six teams, opponents, in our division, and then we're going to have two crossover games. I know for us, we're a little bit different than others. I'm hopeful that the Indiana rivalry will stay the same, so that'll be one of our crossovers, and it'll just be a matter of who the other one's going to be that we're not for sure about. And then I know the ninth game is looking like it's going to be a Big Ten championship for sure, but also we're going to see the second seed in the East versus the West and third versus the third all the way down the line, when those games will be played and exactly how, and if we're going to be able to utilize domes for that last week, I'm not for sure, but I think that's how it's going to plan out. And I feel like probably by the end of the week, we should have a schedule in front of us.
Coach, let me ask you about that final day. Now, obviously, every coach wants to be in the Big Ten championship game, but was that something you had heard about, or did that, I mean, obviously you weren't shocked by it, but what is your thoughts or are your thoughts on that final day, which is very unusual? I have to be perfectly frank. I've never heard anything quite like it.
Well, here's kind of came into play. As we were talking about the scenarios, we were trying to get the season back in play after it got canceled. It was brought up, this was actually before we got canceled. It was brought up that, hey, if we're not going to have bowl games, maybe we can make this last week a lively selection of games that'll have some interest. And that kind of just kind of lingered, I think, in the athletic directors and Big Ten personnel minds of maybe a decent idea if we had a limited schedule. So I think it was started a while back. It kind of just stayed in their minds, and I think it maybe can add some special intrigue to the very last week. For a lot of teams, I'm sure seven playing seven is not going to be a lot of fun, but I know for the top echelon of teams playing against each other, it could be a possible create some interest from a Nationals perspective.
Coach, is there any concern because of the Big Ten restrictions? And they're tough, I mean, to say the least. If you have positive players, it is going to really impact your rest of the way. But is there any concern about just, you know, as you make that turn toward the end of the season, that if things aren't going well, the difficulty of keeping everyone focused, because it's a little bit different than a normal season under these circumstances?
Well, I think that, I don't know all the details yet, but we're going to have somewhat of a low threshold as far as positivity rate that we're going to have to stay under in order to continue to compete. So we're going to have to manage that very well. We're hopeful that the daily antigen testing can help us stay under that threshold that we need. But you know what? I feel like our guys are hungry. I think across the Big Ten landscape, watching other teams play and do it successfully has made us more hungry to get out there and play. And I think they'll be eager to play nine games. And like every season towards the end, if you're not doing well, it may not be as much fun as you like. But I do think there's going to be a lot to play for. We've got some very good teams in the top branch of the Big Ten that I know want to try to compete for a title at the highest level, and I think they have the capability to do that. So it's going to be a competitive year that I think all players will want to play to the very end.
Finally, Coach, I know everyone's thrilled that it's back, but and this is just one of those speculative type questions, but how difficult would it have been, or was it, to communicate not only to your fan base, but potential recruits? Recruiting's coming up here pretty quickly. If you guys had not had a season.
Well, if that would have played out, it would have been a rough year, without question. And I think it would put us at a disadvantage. And I think that's why a lot of coaches were outspoken about, hey, let's find a way to get on the field as fast as we can. So, yes, it would have been something that, you know, would not have played out in our favor. But I do think the fact that we've hung in there, we found a way to get all the things necessary in order to play for our presidents and for our medical staff to find ways that luckily the rapid testing has become available. Luckily, we have everything mapped out from a cardiac standpoint in order to make that done. With the rapid testing, we'll be able to eliminate most of the contact tracing, maybe not all of it from a social setting, but to eliminate all the contact tracing within the building that will help us play with bigger of a roster. I do think that we're able to get back on the field and hopefully get it back on a level playing field. And once the season gets underway and you get to the end of the season, hopefully that people realize that we're all back and that we're all playing together.
Jeff Brohm, head coach at Purdue. Great coach. Coach, thanks for making time. All the best. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Paul. Have a
good
day.
You bet. Jeff Brohm, really a great coach. He's done a phenomenal job at Western and obviously now at Purdue. A couple of pretty monumental wins up there. And we are going to take a break. Coming back with more of your phone calls. Pete Thamel in the final hour. Busy day. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back. It's hard to talk about anything these days without bringing in politics, but the president, Donald Trump, just at a press conference said the Big Ten is in, and he talked about that, and then he said Pac-12, get going, open it up. So he's trying to seal the deal to get everyone back playing college football. Not sure what the chances of those things happening. Anyway, back to the calls at 855-242-7285. We had Coach Brohm on for Purdue. We had Jeremy Pruitt on about an hour and a half ago from the University of Tennessee. And let's talk to Hakeem, who is up next. Hakeem, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Big fan. Glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, as an Oklahoma fan here in the great state of Texas, where we have the best barbecue in the nation, but I digress. A couple of things I want to bring up to you. Number one, Nebraska, you should have stayed in the Big 12. Used to be Big 10. Used to be the Big 8. You should have stayed there because ever since you went to the Big 10, you've been an absolute failure. Scott Frost, we'll see what happens. But since the days of yesteryear, Nebraska has not been a success. I don't know why they think they're on the same level as SEC or even some of these Big 12 schools. That's number two. Paul, I, as an Oklahoma fan, I wanted to get your thoughts on what does this mean to the other teams outside of the Big Ten. Now, we're going to see a Penn State. You're going to see Ohio State in the top five and in the top ten, right? So what does this do to a possible Oklahoma, even though we always fail when we get to the CFP? But what does this do to Oklahoma? And what about now that the Big Ten is back in the game? What does this do for the other bowl games outside of the CFP? I'm not talking about the Wood Eater Bowls, but I'm talking about the other, Gator Bowls or Peach Bowls and things like that. What does that do? Does that give them an opportunity to possibly host bowls outside of the CFP?
Yeah, Hakeem, the bowl business had a big day because those Big Ten schools operate a number of spots. So does the Pac-12. And without the Big Ten, it was going to be very tough. There is some late word that the governor of Oregon has opened the door for Oregon and Oregon State to play. So there. I don't know if the Pac-12 can pull this off. But Hakeem, they're under a lot of pressure now, though.
Yeah, they're under a lot of pressure, Paul. But I don't see how the Pac-12 is going to be able to do it. Hey, I'm happy that the Big Ten is doing it now. Is going to be back into it, Mike. And one of the things as far as the Big Ten is, it a situation where you have an Ohio State who plays Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, and the other big hitters, and then you may have a Penn State that the only big hitter they play is you know, is maybe what Wisconsin.
I think Coach Brohm. I mean, everyone in the Big Ten will play their own. They'll play six from their division, and two crossovers. Which, again, you know, it's self-explanatory. If you're in Ohio State's division, you're going to play Michigan and Penn State, which is the key. Wisconsin, you know, doesn't, you know, the key will be what does Wisconsin do crossover wise? And, you know, I don't know where they are in the pecking order. I'd have to go back and see the old Big 12 schedule, the Big 10 schedule. But Hakeem, thank you very much, though. Really do appreciate your call. Let's talk to Doug, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing well.
Well, I'm going to lay this Big Ten thing to rest for good.
Okay.
Here we go. In the last six, I think, years that they've had the college football playoff, the teams that have been the most consistently in it, one of them is Ohio State. So how can you have a great football playoff if one of your principal players is going to be benched by the COVID-19?
Well, Doug, I agree, and I think that's one reason why the college football playoff is smart to let them back in, which they will. Nobody is stupid enough to shut the Big Ten out, considering it's got more people than any conference. It's rich in tradition, and it has one of the three biggest names in the business in Ohio State.
Well, I don't think Alabama, Clemson, or Georgia, or Oklahoma would have won a national championship and that the Big Ten be sitting on the sideline. I mean, for the COVID, now, if Ohio State had a bunch of players that had committed some offenses or something, they had to suspend them, that's one thing. But just to throw away the whole season over COVID-19, that was ridiculous.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch, always good to hear from you. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing great.
First, I neglect every time I call. I always think about it. I want to invite you, if you ever come to Spartanburg, to allow me to take you to one of the best home-cooked restaurants in the area.
Well, I would love that. You can book it.
Paula Deen's restaurant for the best Southern cooking two or three years in a row.
Okay, well, we will plan on that.
I wanted to call because one of your callers yesterday, he didn't make a big deal about it, but he said it kind of bothered him when fans like myself and others use the word we when we talk about our team. And there's a reason why I feel like fans like myself should be able to say we. I've supported the team for 40 years. In my teenage years, I laid on the bed listening to the radio because Clemson didn't play night games back then. So I would lay on my bed on Saturday afternoon and listen to the game. Over the years, we've had bad, bad seasons in Clemson's view of it. And I still support them. And now I support them now. Now I understand the Fairweather fans not being called we. But those of us who have invested our life in the team, we deserve to be able to say we.
Yeah, I've never understood why people don't care for that. I mean, we're sports fans. Whatever team it is, that's my team. That's the great part about sports. And there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't matter to me, Mitch, whether you've ever been to the campus, been to school there, have a degree. If you're a fan, you're a fan, and you should be able to call it my team, we.
Right. One question really, really quick, but I have to ask it because you know my mind. Now that Big Ten, which I still say it's a smokescreen, I have not given up on that, but now that the Big Ten says they're going to open up on the 24th of October, and President went out there last week to, I forget which school, but anyway, do you think that this is going to cause some protest by certain organizations because the president got involved?
I do not. And you know, listen, people, I mean, I followed politics as you have, Mitch, for a long time. I'm not sure I've ever seen a stronger opinion about someone other than President Trump, but that's okay. But I don't think there's anything here to protest. This is a decision that was a bad decision when it was made. And you've heard me say this a million times. I didn't say it was a bad decision because they were wrong to shut the season down because of their health concerns. They were wrong to shut it down on August 11th. The season didn't begin for another month. And I think they recognize that. And I think they made the right call. And I think all of this other stuff is going to go out the window. But I don't think... I think there's some angry people today on the other side who were hoping to use this against the president. They can't do that now. And I think from a political standpoint, he was very smart and very shrewd to wrap himself in this. There was no downside whatsoever. If they didn't play, no loss. If they did play, could it affect a few votes? We'll find out here on November 3rd. Hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Always great to have you on. We still have Pete Thamel in the final hour, and we are coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back. Great to have everybody here on a Wednesday afternoon. Kevin is in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm not a Big Ten fan, far from it. But, you know, I'm thinking all the presidents are just and honorable men. And like you said 100 times, they made the call too early. They had more accurate information now. But being just and honorable men, they shut it down. I wish people would get off the commissioner's, Warren's, back. He's just taking orders from his boss like you and me. But, you know, the Big Ten is not relevant, really. I mean, you have the situation in 2014 where they won the national championship. But to my estimation, they should have never even gotten in. You know, I mean, Virginia Tech beat them by 14 points, 35-21 at their house in Columbus. They shouldn't even gotten in 2014. And we all know the worst call in college football history was that, 3, 4, 5 second delay in 2002 on the Miami and the Cooper guy who threw the flag with his glasses 10 yards away when the guy wasn't even there. But, you know, the Big Ten is a very good academic, top to bottom. They're second only to the ACC in the Power Five. They're great academic schools, bottom line. They have huge endowments, and like you said, they have huge alumni bases because they graduate 10,000 a year because all those schools are almost 50,000, of course, with the exception of Northwestern and maybe Nebraska. But in basketball, they haven't even been relevant. They haven't won a national championship since 2020, since the first year of this here century. And so, and their spring sports are awful because of their weather. You know, I'm glad they're playing for the kids. But do they really think they're going to get in the playoff? And do they think they're not going to have any games missing if they're playing 9 in a row with no off weeks? A lot of questions there, Paul. And
and Kevin, I think the biggest question is, you know, with a positive test, we're talking about 21 days. That's 3 weeks. That's 3 games. That's a third of the season. and you could knock somebody out if you had a bad situation there. But again, I don't really care about any of that right now. I think it's good that they're back. I hope the Pac-12 comes back. I think it's going to be very difficult for them, but I just feel better about the fall right now. It's not so odd to see.
Right.
You know, I may think, you know, I agree with you on the Big Ten academics, but I'm used to watching Big Ten football. I mean, I'm not going to. I flew last year every Saturday across country, and I found myself watching some really bad Big Ten games. So I will agree with you. They can be painfully boring, but Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, I mean, we're talking about schools that are in a pretty high class of football.
Right. Well, and put me on record, I don't give Trump any credit for this. I do say that he is desperate. Votes,
yeah, but let me offer this,
and so
Kevin,
try anything.
Whether I think this is going to impact a single state? No, I don't. But I do think he got involved. I don't know. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of pushback on what happened, but I frankly think he helped. Big Ten. There's some presidents in the Big Ten who were pushing back, but that's along political lines. But I never think it's bad when the president of the United States wants to get involved. I'll tell you a quick story. I got to know President Obama's brother-in-law, and we were talking about we were working on a visit to the White House when Alabama won the national championship in 2015, and I was angling for a joint interview, show you how brazen I was, with Nick Saban and Barack Obama in the Oval Office. So we were trying to set it up. I didn't think it was that big a deal. Obama loved basketball, he loved sports. And his brother-in-law was running interference, and he finally came back and he said, "I gotta be honest with you." He said, I think he called him Barack. He said, Barack does not have any interest in sitting around talking about college football. So I say that not for any other reason to say that when the president of the United States cares about college football, I don't care what party he is, the bull moose, the Whig, the Republican or Democrat. I am interested, and I've been to a number of games where the president attended, and it's great. I mean, whatever his political interests are, I mean, he may be the president for four more years. He may be an also-ran after November 3rd. That is not my concern. My concern is the sport, and I think he helped.
Well, okay. But I'm not going to forget 200,000 dead.
Well,
and I'm not going to forget, you know,
Kevin,
we're
Kevin,
what,
let me
the
assure
world
you.
In population, and we got, you know,
I am not Kevin, I am
dead.
Not stipulating that. I'm just simply saying on this particular issue, I think people's reluctance to give him any credit is simply along ideological lines. That's fine. I've already said it's not going to matter. I promise you.
Okay, I concur. I concur with your last couple of sentences there. But you know, they had more information, and at the time, they're just an honorable man, and I don't want anybody to die. And,
okay. Well, I appreciate that. We will continue this conversation. I don't mean to rush, but we have to.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.